I speak to you in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to think for a moment about all of the ways in which we use the word blind in our everyday English language. We talk about a blind alley, a blind spot, blind ambition, a blind date, blind as a bat. It's like the blind leading the blind, to turn a blind eye. Love is blind, and of course, blind faith. One might summarize today's gospel reading as a story about blind faith. Do you recall Jesus' post-resurrection interaction with one of his disciples by the name of Thomas, who wasn't there on that first night of the resurrection on Easter Eve when Jesus appeared to them behind closed doors? He refused to believe that Jesus had actually risen from the dead until he placed his fingers in the hands, the nail prints in his hands, and the pierce in his side, and saw the nail prints in his feet. The next time that Jesus was with his disciples, 1 week later, he went right up to Thomas and showed him the proof that he needed to convince him that indeed he had risen from the dead. And then he said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Sometimes we see, but we just don't understand. We don't comprehend, and we don't believe. Over the past several Sundays in our readings from Mark's gospel, that was clearly the case with Jesus' disciples, as well as with most of the religious leaders, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They had all seen what Jesus could do. And on several occasions, he'd been absolutely, perfectly clear about what his earthly mission was to be all about. But they still couldn't understand who he was and what he was here on this earth about to do, namely, to offer himself up to God as a sacrifice for sin, to suffer and to die on a cross so that their sins and the sins of the whole world would be pardoned, removed, taken away, forgiven. And then to be raised by God from the dead just 3 days later, so that death would be conquered, death would be defeated. They just couldn't understand this. So you might say that, spiritually speaking, they were blind as bats. Well, today's gospel is asking each one of us to do a rather deep and serious self-examination of our spiritual eyesight. How's your spiritual eyesight? How's your spiritual understanding? How well do you know Jesus? How clearly do you see exactly who he is and what he did for us? To get at these questions, we're going to take a close look at Jesus' incredible healing miracle, wherein he restored sight to the blind Bartimaeus. Here's how this story begins. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting at the roadside. On the timeline of Jesus' life, this took place just a few days before his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, which is to say that his earthly ministry was rapidly coming to an end. Now, to get to Jerusalem, he had to pass through Jericho, which was only 18 miles below Jerusalem. And when I say below, I mean really below. It was some 840 feet below sea level and 3,500 feet below Jerusalem. Walking from Jericho to Jerusalem was one steep uphill climb. Before Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he would perform one final healing miracle, which is the last of the healing miracles that we have recorded in Mark's gospel. Well, it's no surprise that this story takes place in Jericho either, because Jericho wasn't just any ordinary city. It was the oldest continuously inhabited city on the face of the earth. Besides that, it was a city where all the important people lived. King Herod had built his winter palace there. It was also where many of the most influential and most affluent Roman families spent their winter months. In other words, it was the equivalent of Palm Beach or Naples or Palm Springs or one of those beautiful places. Anyone who wanted to be somebody, anyone who considered themselves to be among the elite of society, had to have an address postmarked Jericho. And just like Charleston, Jericho was what we might call a destination city. Jericho was also the city where blind Bartimaeus made his home. If you were a blind beggar, that was the place you wanted to be, because the class of people who would be passing through that city, the wealthy, the royalty, military leaders, the very important people of the day, might just take notice of you and drop a copper coin or two into your little beggar's cup or onto your cloak. For Bartimaeus, that day, of course, began like every other day in his life. Waking up in the morning, got to his feet, stretched a bit, shook the straw off of his shabby cloak, and with his long red and white stick, not sure it was red and white, but I'm sure he had a long stick in his hand, he began tapping his way along the familiar turns in the streets, which led, of course, to the main gate of the city. Perhaps he was able to beg a crust of bread or two from some of the people along the way who had gotten to know him over the years. Let's give poor Bartimaeus a piece of bread. He looks absolutely famished. Poor guy, they'd say. As a blind man, of course, he was among the lowest of the low. He had no status whatsoever. He was unable to work because of his blindness, and there were certainly no government benefits that he could claim. He was totally dependent upon the generosity of the passers-by. Arriving at the gate, he took his regular place with all the beggars. He wrapped his tattered cloak tightly around himself because although it was springtime, there was still this crisp chill in the morning air. And there he sat, like so many other days before, his acute sense of hearing because of his blindness capturing all the sounds of the city as it was coming to life that morning. First, he heard the sound of a donkey loaded with melons headed to the market. Then several women chatting as they were carrying their empty pitchers to fill at the city's well. And then, of course, the clod of camels' hooves and the aroma of fish being carried in baskets to the town's marketplace. Soon, Jericho was all abuzz, humming with activity, and the blind man began to intone his usual beggar's cry. Alms, alms for the blind. Please, your alms. But then something incredible happened. Something that would change Bartimaeus' life forever. He overheard someone say that the rabbi named Jesus was passing through Jericho. He'd heard that this rabbi was someone very special, that he was known for his compelling preaching and teaching and all about the love of God, which drew huge crowds of people just to see him and just to hear him speak. Many said that his words had actually changed their lives, transformed their lives completely. Bartimaeus had also heard whispers here and there that Jesus could perform miracles, that he could heal the sick, cure leprosy, cast out demons, open the ears of the deaf, and even, yes, restore sight to the blind. Well, suddenly, Bartimaeus tensed, and lifting up his head with his hypersensitive ears, he heard the hubbub and the cacophony of a great throng of people coming his way. People were hurrying past him to the gate of the city, talking excitedly. And then feeling the brush of someone's robe, he grabbed a hold of it. Bartimaeus reached out and asked, "What's going on? Tell me what's happening here." The passerby pulled his robe away and called back, "Jesus of Nazareth, the one people are declaring to be the Messiah, sent from God, is coming your way." Oh, his heart began to pound. He was trembling. It was all happening so quickly. He had to do something. This was his chance, his only chance. Carpe diem, seize the day. So he mustered every ounce of strength that he had, and he shouted at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, the people following Jesus, the entire entourage, even Jesus' own disciples called out, "Bartimaeus, silence, silence." But he yelled all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." His plaintive cry was pitiful. Chanting at the top of his lungs, he was desperate. He was frantic. Poor Bartimaeus. Everyone was trying to silence him. "Bartimaeus, you're making a scene here." Others rebuked him and even insulted him. "Stifle yourself, you blind beggar." But there was no silencing him. No. As Jesus was passing by, he heard Bartimaeus calling him, "Son of David, Son of David," and begging for mercy, which stopped him dead in his tracks and beckoned the crowd to call Bartimaeus to come to him. "Call him," Jesus said. At this, the crowd must have been stunned, and turning to Bartimaeus said, "Take heart, rise, get up. He's calling you." At this, Bartimaeus instantly sprang to his feet, threw off his precious cloak, tossed aside his beggar's cup, because he had one thing and one thing alone on his mind: being able to see. Being able to see. Bartimaeus' deep faith then took over, a faith that was strong, determined, and persistent, a faith that understood who Jesus was, the long-expected Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it was he who was now calling him. The only other time this title, Son of David, appears in the entire New Testament is by that ever-so-persistent Syrophoenician woman who was constantly pursuing Jesus. And, of course, the one time that Jesus used it of himself in Matthew's gospel. By calling Jesus Son of David, Bartimaeus was acknowledging him as the Savior, the promised Savior, whom God had sent into the world. Others saw him only as a great preacher and a miracle worker, but not Bartimaeus. No. No, he saw him as his Savior. And now he found himself standing face to face with Jesus, who asked him this one question: "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" His response was spontaneous, a request voiced with all the confidence of a deep faith. Yes, the faith that Jesus could and would deliver. In humble trust, Bartimaeus asked not for wealth, not for power, not for success, not even for a special place in his kingdom, like James and John had done, as we heard in last Sunday's gospel, but only for this one thing: his sight. "Master," he says. Notice he uses the word master. "Let me receive my sight. I just want to see." For Bartimaeus to be healed, his beggar's cup had to fall to the ground, and his cloak had to be left behind as he stepped blindly into that moment, into the presence of Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus knew that if Jesus had not stopped, if he'd kept on walking, he would have died a blind man. After all, this would be Jesus' last walk through Jericho on his way up to Jerusalem. Yes. You see, when Jesus calls you, without any hesitation whatsoever, you need to receive him right then and right there, which is exactly what Bartimaeus did. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." The actual translation is, "Your faith has healed you." The Greek word for healed is the word sozo, which means saved. It's a word that has both physical and spiritual dimensions. And immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and followed him on the way. Followed him immediately on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, where he would become an eyewitness to Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, where he would become an eyewitness to the injustice of his trial, where he would become an eyewitness to the horror of his crucifixion, and where he would become an eyewitness to the joy of his resurrection. Talk about getting an eyeful. He certainly did. Imagine what that moment must have been like for Bartimaeus. I try to imagine that. Try to put yourself in his shoes. Blind his entire life. Blind at the beginning of Jesus' words to him. And then seconds later, 20/20 vision. No laser surgery, no drops, no bandages. Instantaneous sight. He saw human beings for the first time. He saw the city he loved and grew up in, Jericho, called the City of Roses. But the very first thing he saw, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, was the face of his Savior, Jesus. Bartimaeus' faith saved him. Salvation always and only comes through faith. Hear the words of St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. You can't do anything to earn it, to work for it, to pay for it, to purchase it, to buy it, lest anyone should boast." Then, as soon as Bartimaeus sees Jesus, what happens? He immediately becomes one of his followers. Having been saved by faith, he now begins to live by faith. God gives us faith as a gift, and we respond to it by obeying Christ, by obeying his call and following him. St. Paul calls it the obedience of faith. Jesus didn't require Bartimaeus to follow him as a condition placed on his healing, but once he was healed, once he was saved, it was the natural thing for him to do. Now, there are many facets to this story, this miracle of healing that we could delve into a bit more deeply this morning. For instance, the call, Jesus' call to Bartimaeus, or the question he says, "Now, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus?" But there's one that stands out, I think, above all the rest, and it's this one. Did you notice that before Bartimaeus requested to receive his sight, he repeatedly made this other request? And in many ways, the first request was more urgent than the second request. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Mercy on me." I believe that by his use of that one word, mercy, Bartimaeus had perceived his spiritual need, that his spiritual need was even more serious than his physical need, his eyesight. The first step in receiving any form of healing is what? It's to acknowledge that we're sick, that we have a serious problem, that we need healing, we need a cure. Bartimaeus knew that he needed someone to heal him, someone to save him. He came to Jesus because he knew that more than anything else in the world, he needed a Savior, someone who would save him from the blinding effects of sin. The blinding effects of sin. St. Paul said that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus, of course, in one of his Beatitudes said, "Blessed are those who know their need of God, for the kingdom of heaven shall be theirs." Do you know your need for God? More specifically, do you know your need for a Savior? A Savior, specifically, who goes by the name of Jesus. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, we fail to see just how sin-sick we are and how much we need the grace of God. Sometimes I think that we forget the gravity, the weight, and the severity of our sin, that it's our sin that has actually broken and destroyed and severed our relationship with God. Whenever we forget that, then it's time to get down on our knees, as we did at the beginning of this service, and humbly confess to Almighty God that we are absolutely lost, that we have no power in and of ourselves to help ourselves, and that we too are just poor, blind beggars, like Bartimaeus, beggars of God's mercy to be poured out upon us. We cannot save ourselves any more than Bartimaeus could save himself. Our healing, you see, is never our own accomplishment. It all comes from God. The more clearly we recognize just how much mercy we need, the sooner we'll be able to be released from the shame of being among the lost and discover the joy of being among the found. I once was lost, but now am found. The only remedy, the only cure for our sin-sick souls is the cross of Jesus Christ. True faith rests on the belief that Jesus' death and the cross atoned for, paid for our sins, that he accepted his son's sacrifice on our behalf, and that we are thus completely, completely forgiven. This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, sinners like you and me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "The grace of God mediated through Jesus Christ is free." The grace of God mediated through Jesus Christ is free. But then he continued, "But it's not cheap." But it's not cheap. It cost him his very life on the hard wood of the cross. Mercy is the love of God for sinners like you and me. It's the grace by which he rescues us from our lost and sorry condition. Whether Bartimaeus realized it or not, and I personally believe that he did, when he asked Jesus for mercy, he was asking for something far greater than to have his sight restored. He was begging for salvation. And in so doing, he received both. He received his sight, and he received his salvation. There's no blindness that does not end in sight. There's no darkness that does not end in light. As resurrection people, that is exactly what we exactly what we believe. Today's gospel is inviting us to come to Jesus. You might say it's a come to Jesus moment. By abandoning ourselves to him, then like Bartimaeus, to accept him, to begin to follow him, and then to serve him as the Lord of our life. Someone once bluntly asked the blind and deaf Helen Keller this question, "Isn't it terrible to be blind?" To which she responded, "Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." Oh, yes, it's quite possible to see, but not to understand, to hear the gospel, but not to believe it, not to live by it. Here again, these words spoken by the crowd to Bartimaeus: "Take heart, rise, he's calling you." Have you heard the call of Jesus upon your life today? It's only when we respond to his call and throw aside that which we're so tightly clinging to and spring up and come to Jesus that we can be made whole, that we can be healed, that we can be saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. May God grant us all 2020 spiritual vision to see just how amazing God's grace is. Amen.